There it is. All right, so I think tomorrow's, she'll get back on in a minute here. And we take
Have you talked on this before, Jim?
On this topic?
Yes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. This is one of those ones that I do at least once a year.
Okay. I kind of went back and looked through things and I wasn't quite sure, but this is going to be good.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely, this is one of those ones that you can't hear enough of, for obvious reasons. So, yeah, let's kind of hop right into it. So yeah, we'll be talking about the power of accepting yourself, and let's start with one of my favorite quotes. Carl Rogers is great, by the way. So if you ever haven't read about him, he's a psychologist and just a very, very talented guy. So when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. And that might sound a little bit of a paradox, but that's kind of what it's all about. Instead of, you know, kind of hating ourselves and trying to change, we want to accept ourselves first and then allow ourselves to truly be who we are. You know, it's kind of the goal here. So, you know, a few quick notes, you know, as I just said, you can't hate yourself healthy. And I always mention this because I don't know why. It's easy to do in our society. We're always comparing ourselves and we're mad that we're not, you know, like a different way sometimes. And it can be very easy to kind of hate ourselves, be very mad at ourselves, either because we're not acting the way we want to, or we're not happy with certain aspects of, you know, how we look physically, how we are mentally, or, you know, how we feel emotionally. And so really, again, there's another lesson, kind of a sister lesson to this, which is really kind of about how to love yourself. And I think these really go hand in hand, but we can't start with hating ourselves, and it can't be this, once I change, then I'm going to love myself idea. And I think a lot of us do that sometimes, and it just doesn't work well for a number of reasons. So what this is really kind of a love-based motivation strategy. And I think when it's said in this way, it's kind of obvious, like that would work better. And this would be a better approach to doing it. But I think sometimes just kind of unconsciously, the way we're set up is and again, I always talk about this, like this pain-based motivation strategy that a lot of us tap into unconsciously, is that if we hate, and I don't want to say we hate ourselves, but if we hate our body, if we hate the results we're getting so much that we'll finally take action. And sometimes, you know, that's how a lot of people try and create that motivation. But I promise you that this love-based motivation works even better, you know, for a lot of reasons, and it's more long lasting. So just in a practical sense, just the idea that, okay, well, I don't like myself this way, and then we start to change and we get some of the results. Once we get there, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're just going to love ourselves. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, if anyone's ever lost weight, you know, sometimes when you get to that goal weight, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to love yourself or that you're going to feel great. It just doesn't. And so we want to start practicing that right now. You know, even for a lot of people, this is a struggle. And so it's something you want to do right now. This is part of the reason why you may overeat sometimes and may choose the wrong foods. When we hate ourselves, when we have that feeling, or we don't accept ourselves, that feeling leads to overeating. That feeling leads to choosing the wrong food. And I think if you start working on loving yourself and really accepting who you are, I think you're going to find that it's almost natural. And it's easier to choose the right foods because you just want to. You let go a lot of that heaviness and that weight and that upset that you may carry around. And again, just thinking holistically, this is kind of the big picture stuff, you know, because again, sometimes I think we compartmentalize things. It's okay, well, I was going to eat better. And then we try and get ourselves so upset that we won't eat the wrong thing. But again, once again, it's that stress of always trying to put the screws to ourselves that literally drives us to eat the wrong stuff. And so this goes along again with the eight, you know, this is just almost, this could be another habit that goes right along with in the gratitude one is where I'd put in that category. But again, this is right from the get-go, you should be working on this. We never want to do the, well, once I lose the weight, then I'm going to love myself. Or once I look the way I want to, then I'm going to accept myself. That's a slippery slope, you know, and that rarely, rarely works. And I can tell you, because I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people that have lost the weight, they get to their goal weight and they say, well, I didn't feel like myself. Right? And it didn't just magically feel better. So again, holistically, we understand that the way we feel about ourselves affects how we feel in general, and how we feel obviously impacts how we eat and how we act. Again, we want to be patient with ourselves. And what I mean by that is kind of twofold here. One is that, you know, we always want to bring patience into this process because the results we're looking for typically are going to take a little bit of time. But the other side is that even like, well, we'll talk about this lesson tonight and you'll be like, oh my God, yeah, yeah, I should accept myself. And then tomorrow will come and you'll be running, playing that old tape where you're not accepting yourself, or you're mad at yourself, you don't like something about yourself. So again, knowing something and actually putting into action are two different things. And a lot of times we have to know something and learn something, and then we just have to consistently kind of put it into action. And that's the genuine process of learning. And so it takes a little while, and we need to be patient with ourselves. We're not just going to get it. A book that a lot of this stuff is based on, and a book I'd strongly recommend, I think it's a super duper read, is Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach. She's a meditation teacher, and I just love it. I love the concept of radical acceptance. You know, I think it goes counter to a lot of stuff in society, and it feels nice, you know, to honestly do that. So, some habitual responses and thoughts of non-acceptance, right? And so this is what I mean. This is kind of all falls under the umbrella of acceptance or non-acceptance. And one is blaming yourself, right? And I say this all the time. So it's like, well, if you choose the wrong food, it's your fault, right? No. Again, I think it's your fault in the sense of, if you want to learn a new song on the piano and it's the first week or two you're learning it and you're kind of screwing it up. Technically it's kind of your fault, but there's a process to learning it. And so, I don't know, the blaming yourself, there's taking responsibility, which I think is good, but I think there's the way we take responsibility. Like if you were in school or if you're going to learn piano, where there's a longer time frame and there's an understanding of the process of change that goes with it. And then there's the blaming ourselves we do when it comes to weight loss, which is, okay, I know what I should do and I should just do it. And there's really no respect for the process of change when it comes to weight loss. People just think, oh, I should just do the right thing all the time. And so, if you really look at this as a learning process, and I'm always saying that because it needs to be reinforced all the time, but we don't want to be blaming ourselves. You know what I mean? And it gets hard. And angry at yourself, right? So we angry at ourselves. Again, this sometimes is when we don't accept who we are. Right? Or we're just not happy with our body. We're not happy with the way we are. We feel this intense anger. And so the blaming yourself, the anger, it all leads to the behaviors you don't want. Feeling disappointed in yourself. You know, again, this stuff just hurts. It's just not, remember, if our North Star is quality of life, right? This wouldn't be a good quality of life. And this is stuff that we can start to work on, like I said, now, right? We don't have to wait till we lose the weight. We don't have to wait till we, you know, we've eaten perfect for 30 days or whatever the goal may be. We can start accepting ourselves right now, even when we make mistakes. And it's, I'll give you an example too, just kind of reframe it. It's like if you had a child and your child is trying to do something and they know better, but they just make mistakes. A lot of times we have much more sympathy and acceptance of them, you know what I mean, than we do when we make mistakes. And so we want to bring some of that compassion, that acceptance to ourselves. You know, it makes the whole process a lot easier. Feeling like you let yourself down, you know, again, that's a common one. Revenge, rebellion, and punishment. You know what I mean? Like, these are the big three. Because when we get mad at ourselves, we live in this world of not accepting who we are. It all gets turned back on ourselves, right? Because a lot of times we want to punish ourselves, you know? We make a mistake in this other part of us. And again, sometimes it becomes almost like we have this parent voice or, maybe a bad friend voice or someone who wasn't particularly nice to us in life. We internalize that voice and it becomes this punishing voice within ourselves, you know? And so once again, a lot of times we would never speak to someone else with that sort of voice. You know, I over and over again, I'm always shocked, you know, working with people just to see in myself, becoming aware of it, even myself, how mean we can be to ourselves. You know what I mean? How non-accepting we can be ourselves. And we would never, most of us would never ever be that way with other people. And certainly not with people that we love. And so it makes no sense to be that way with ourselves. And so again, literally, like, we're all multiple personalities. So sometimes when we make a mistake or we don't do the right thing, it almost becomes like we're going to punish ourselves. And sometimes that energy of wanting to punish ourselves for doing the wrong thing becomes, well, now I'm going to overeat and we kind of sabotage ourselves. So it gets very complicated, you know, psychologically. So again, the easiest way to do it is just work on acceptance. You know, we'll talk about how to do that in a few moments. The rebellion as well. Sometimes even when we articulate what our goal is right from the get-go, if it's not really congruent, if we're not completely on board with it, then sometimes we feel that rebellion. And this happens a lot when people do like extreme diets. You'll feel this where all of a sudden we say, okay, I can't have that ever again. And we feel this rebellious part come up, right? And it kind of sabotages us. And so again, we get real mad at that part and that part gets mad at us. But the easiest way is to kind of let that stuff go and again, work on the acceptance. We're all on the same team. All the multiple parts in our brain and in our personalities, we're all part of the same vessel here, you know? So we all want to get the results that are going to make us happy. So where does this happen? You know what I mean? Like, is this a natural thing? I don't know, but certainly in our culture now, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to not accept ourselves. And so one of the first ones is these unrealistic physical ideals, you know, and I see this all the time where we, you know, again, we get it from, you know, the culture. We're constantly bombarded, and women especially, we're bombarded with these images. And some of them aren't even real. You know, a lot of them are these Photoshopped ideals that don't even exist. And then we think we should be that way on top of it. And if they are unrealistic, if it's not our path, certainly, you know, that becomes a source for not accepting ourselves, right? If we always hold up that that's what we should be, you know, that's a real easy way to not feel acceptance for ourselves. Incongruent goals. This is so common. You know, I can't tell you how often, one of the first things I do, you know, what's the goal weight? You know, what are you aiming for? And someone will say a number, and we really delve into it. It's not congruent. And what I mean by that is that it's some weight that they weighed when they were 18, or it's a weight when they were, you know, super, super strict, you know, at one point in their life. And when they think about it now, it's like, it was miserable then. And now if they think they were, if they were going to do it now, it'd be miserable. And so it becomes incongruent. It's like, yeah, there's this number they keep saying they think they want, but in order to get it is a miserable quality of life. So it's incongruent. They don't really want that. Okay. And so that's very common. You know, fear, right? Just being scared that again, we're never going to achieve what this ideal may be that we hold out, you know, or fear that we're just not good enough. You know, even if we reach that, you know, we're still, you know, not enough. Okay. Focusing on failures. Okay. So certainly that happens. This is very common. And I would say this is, as a rule, the people in this group and that get into my programs, are real action takers. You know what I mean? They hold yourself to a high standard. And so what happens is, you know, you could have a week where, you know, you eat 5 days great, and you have one day where you eat, you know, 70% great, but all of a sudden, all you do is get fixated on that mistake you made, or that bad decision you made. Or we do this daily. You know what I mean? You eat really, really well throughout the day, and you eat like a cookie, and all of a sudden, it's like the cookie becomes the entire focus of your attention. And what happens is, again, it's just it's a way of looking at things where we're always identifying the mistakes and the failures, and we define them as failures, right? And so that's a real easy way, you know, to not feel accepting of yourself. And then probably the biggest one of all is comparison. You know, we compare ourselves to other people we know, to people that we don't know, actresses, actors, people we see on magazines. But comparison is almost always the main source of when we don't feel like we're enough, right? When we don't accept ourselves. So again, we don't want to do that ideally. And yet we're trained to do it, right? We're bombarded with opportunities to compare ourselves to something. So some of these unrealistic ideals, I want to go a little bit deeper into that, because this is so common. This is, like I said, this is probably one of those common things. And again, our brain is always looking to conserve energy. So a lot of times we're making decisions and we have these ideas and we don't really question them. Okay. So I just want to bring out some of the common sources I see of unrealistic ideals for people. And so one of the first ones I see, I can't tell you this, and it may sound silly when I say that, right? So I could talk to someone who's, you know, 55. I say, well, what do you want to weigh? And they'll tell me a weight, and I'll say, okay, why'd you pick that weight? Well, that's what I weighed when I was 18. I maybe you don't do that, but I can't tell you the number of times I've heard someone say this to me. Okay. And why? Well, I don't know. Maybe when you were, yeah, maybe when you're 18, life was great. I mean, like it was fun. You're in high school and you felt like you looked your best, whatever. And so if you always identify as that version of yourself, it's obvious right now when I say it this way, you could see how that would be a real easy way to never accept yourself, right? Because it's impossible. That's beyond unrealistic. It's impossible. You know what I mean? Like, this is part of acceptance, that as we get older, we have to learn how to accept who we are. And we have to learn to accept change, because that is part of life, right? But again, it just becomes something that when you bring it up to someone, it's kind of obvious. A lot of times, say, oh, yeah. Sometimes they don't, right? Sometimes, a lot of times, we'll have to go at this for a little while. But we want to be aware. We want to recognize, where do our goals come from, right? Where's our ideal weight? Where is that coming from, right? And so again, a lot of times, we've just been doing it for so long. You know what I mean? We were 22, we said 18. We were 30, we said 18. 35, we said 18. You know what I mean? And it just never changes. And that happens a lot. Looking like a supermodel. again, this is a very subtle one, and a lot of times people won't say this out loud, but everything's relative. You know, I'll say the next one here, looking like an athlete, right? It's another one, because we're seeing these people all the time, right? Or again, a celebrity, right? That's another one. So we don't realize we're doing it because we're so bombarded with it. It's kind of like the wallpaper, right? You stop paying attention to the wallpaper after a while, but we're so bombarded with images, right? Primarily images of celebrities, athletes, supermodels, that we unconsciously start to think that's how we should look, you know? So I always tell this story, and some of you have probably heard this before, but there was a guy, and I can't remember his name anymore, but even like Bryce Harper, he's a baseball player. And anyways, he was going to be on the Sports Illustrated body issue. And so I remember seeing this picture, like, holy cow, right? And this guy was all cut up and ripped up. And I was like, and all of a sudden I'm like, ah, I should do that. I thought that. I saw the picture. I said, I should do that. But then I remember reading about how he got prepared for it. And it was like, he prepared for like 6 months. Now this was a professional athlete. Okay. And so he's already genetically gifted. He lives an extremely active physical, you know, prime lifestyle already. And then he said for 6 months, like he restricted his diet. He ate a really, really specific diet with a nutritionist. As it got closer and closer to the photo shoot, he was doing like real, real specific nutrition and eating ways. And he was doing these whole wicked exercise program the whole 6 months. As he got out like a week into it, he started cutting weight like the MMA fighters. Like he, you know, he mean literally flushing all the water out of his body. He didn't eat for like the last 3 days. He totally dehydrated himself. And it's like what happened is he prepared himself scientifically to get to that 1 hour where they were taking pictures of him. Do you know what I mean? And so I say that because, again, we just look at a picture and say, oh, I should look like that. And we don't realize what went into that. And so he doesn't even look like that in real life. Okay. He had a 6 month goal to kind of like, you know, get prepared for it. But that was just, that really hit me like a, you know, it was so profound to me because again, that's one guy. And I think it's way worse for women, but it's like, how often we look at just like some woman, we say, oh, I should look like that. And we discount again, the genetics, the lifestyle, and the fact that, you know, for a lot of times they are really preparing for that one photo shoot. And then that doesn't even take into account Photoshop. So we're surrounded by unrealistic ideals, looking like someone else, you know? And so that's a big one. And that's what I think all of it comes down to. The idea of acceptance, which we're going to get to in a moment here, is really just accepting who you are. You know what I mean? Like truly. And accepting that, again, I hate to say perfect because you are perfect. You know, and that's the point of it. So let's talk about increasing acceptance. We're going to get some of the big ones here in a moment. Relaxation, right? We got to say this because relaxation goes into it. I can promise you when you're not accepting yourself, it is synonymous with tension without question. And as you relax, it absolutely puts you in a better place to accept yourself for who you are. Okay. Without question. Breathing, right? They're part and parcel. They're one and the same. Relaxing and breathing puts you into a natural state where it connects you to who you are. It centers you. It connects you, you know, to your heart, connects you to who you are as a person. And it makes you more accepting of who, you know, the person that you are. So those are key. Gratitude. Okay. So I've done whole lessons on loving your body for what it is. Now, again, I know sometimes women have a hard time, and men too, loving their bodies, right? Because we've been so conditioned to look at it so critically. One way around this is to look at it functionally, right? And so what I mean by that is that a lot of times we look at it superficially, you know, comparing ourselves to some celebrity or something physically. But literally functionally, the fact that you've got hands, the fact that you can see, the fact that you can walk, right? You got to, again, there's always a spectrum. And so you should look on the other side of it. If you struggle to feel love and gratitude for your body, look at people, never mind just how you look, but look at how your body works, if it does, right? The fact that you can see, that you can hear, right? That you've got legs, that your arms work and your hands work, right? So literally functionally, right? That you, you know, have the mobility that you have, right? That you can still do the things you can do, right? And so that's a good starting place. And then you work into all the things that make you, that you love about yourself. Very, very powerful practice to get into, you know, and your life. You know what I mean? The fact that you're breathing, the fact that you're still alive and you know, have what you have in your life. So gratitude is always kind of like that silver bullet to a lot of this stuff, to struggling with loving yourself or struggling with accepting yourself. Developing that gratitude, I promise you, is a real, it's a strong muscle developed to influence your weight and your health the way you want to, and doing it right now. Mindfulness is helpful because it helps you separate yourself from the thoughts sometimes if you've struggled with acceptance or loving your body, those thoughts are so, again, it becomes like the wallpaper. It's hard to even recognize the thoughts you're having. And if you can't recognize the thoughts you're having, then it just feels like, well, this is just how I feel. You know what I mean? So we always want to get a little bit of daylight between the thoughts we have and the feelings that we, you know, experience. And one of the most powerful ways to do that is mindfulness, you know, becoming aware, getting present in the moment. When we feel all of a sudden this twinge of non-acceptance for ourselves, or we're mad about something about our body or feeling less than, if we can recognize what's the thought that triggered that feeling, you know, that can be a profound, that's a very profound practice to get into, because it'll help you kind of tap into that. And then here's one of the big ones too, right? Practicing self-compassion, empathy, and forgiveness for yourself, especially along this path, because I'll tell you what happens with the black and white, all or nothing mentality is it's not, there's none of this really. It's always the idea. We always hold it out. You know what I mean? Like, well, if I get the results, then I'll start some of this stuff, you know, but we need to feel it now, because it's not feeling this stuff that's triggering the overeating and the wrong food choices. I can't overstate that enough. Literally, in some ways, it's very, very literal. Sometimes, I've seen this front and center. You may have experienced some of this yourself. Sometimes people get so mad at themselves, they literally want to punish themselves. I can't even tell you how common this is, because it becomes this internal voice. We're all our own best or worst hypnotists. We're always talking in our head. And if we internalize, you know, listen, some people out there have parents that raise them to be not accepting of their bodies, right? And so if you internalize that voice, you literally start to manifest it, even though you don't want it. Okay, it works that way. And so again, the silver bullet through that stuff is self-compassion, developing that. You know what I mean? Almost treating yourself like you would treat a child. And I know sometimes, again, because the people in this group, we're high achievers, we're type A, we're driven, we want to get what we want to get. But I can almost guarantee you we all can use more self-compassion, and it feels so nice. And when you start feeling some of that and you start giving yourself some of that, again, what happens is you start becoming more congruent. Because again, going back to the rebellion, if you had a parent that was always commenting on your weight and how you ate, and you internalize that voice, what happens is you have another part of you that's almost like this teenage part of you, and it becomes this battle. And the teenage part says, yeah, screw you. I'm going to keep eating, so you're going to be miserable. It may sound crazy to you, I don't know, but I promise you this is at play in a number of situations that I've seen. So again, bringing self-compassion, empathy, and forgiveness into this can be a real profound shift for people. I can't tell you the number of people I've seen that when they've started developing this, it's been profound, and it's been a missing piece for them, right? It's something they haven't really thought about, because again, they always hold it out in the future as a conditional thing. It's conditional on, well, once I get to the goal weight, once I'm living the way, you know, at the weight I should be living at, then I'll feel those things. And again, if they never get there, or they get there and say, well, shit, I still don't feel that stuff, right? And so that's why you need to start feeling it now. And then finally, right, and I wanted to just take a moment and talk about this, because I know I mentioned comparison before, but I'm telling you, comparing is the number one thing, you know? Because like I said, you know, you could feel great about yourself. I know we've all experienced this, right? Where we're feeling really good, and then all of a sudden we see someone who looks better. And then all of a sudden we feel like crap, right? And so that is happening all the time now, right? Because we're bombarded with images of perfection. Not real perfection, but what's defined as perfection. But what is perfection? You know, and that's really the question. I can promise you, if you get to your goal weight, you don't get any awards. You know what I mean? you don't get your picture on that. I don't know. Just it feels good. If it's intrinsic and you get to your goal weight and it feels good and you are proud of the way you did it and it's a lifestyle you want to lead and you feel like the ideal version of you, that's what you want. But there's no awards for getting your goal weight. You know what I mean? It has to be intrinsic. It's got to be something from the inside. And so I think this is so important, because if we're going to comparing is, you could take anyone, right? And I've worked with people that doesn't matter. You can't be good looking enough. You can't be perfect enough, if that makes sense. If you're going to play this game, it's an always losing game. You know what I mean? If you're always going to compare, if you have to be the best looking person, if you have to be the perfect weight, there's just no winning that game. because there's always someone that you can look at and feel bad looking at about yourself. So you have to stop comparing. And what that leads you to be is really accepting who you are. And I think this is important. And so on a practical level, right? So a lot of us want to be attractive, right? As attractive as we can be. And I think this goes down to a definition of how you're going to define attractiveness. And I think at least a big part of your definition of attractive should be when you feel good about yourself, when you're living the way you know you want to, right? When you're being the best version of you, okay? Of you. Because there is no truth to what perfection is, right? It just doesn't exist. It's this illusion. And yet it can drive us and make us feel bad so often, okay? If we think there's this perfection and we don't reach it, then it's always a way to feel bad, okay? And we can never feel good, okay? So it's so important to stop comparing, because it doesn't matter what other people are doing. It really only matters what we're doing. And as long as we're being the best version of ourselves, being the best version of ourselves or moving towards that, so that we feel like we're progressing, we feel like, again, we're growing and evolving, that feels good in becoming, again, the best version of who we are, you know? And so again, imperfections and all, and I hate the word imperfections, right? Because they're not imperfections. They're your perfections. You're who you are, you know? And so it's like, you know, growing up, it's like, oh, my legs are too skinny. To who? You know what I mean? Like I can tell you like all these insecurities I had about myself physically. I wish my hair looked different. I wish my legs were bigger. I wish I had bigger muscles. I wish I had a six pack. Who care? You know what I mean? I just don't care. I don't care anymore. And now I feel much better about myself, and I still work on this stuff for myself. Cause again, we live in a world that's really conditioning us to not accept ourselves. And again, there's a financial motive behind it, because the less you accept yourself, the more you'll spend on things to try and feel perfect or to try and feel better. Okay. But you don't need to. Of course, you can still get those things. You can still want to feel better. But you can do it because it makes you feel better and you feel good, not because it makes you feel less worse, if that makes sense. So I hope this helps. And I hope this means something to you, because I think this gets to the core of it. I think women have it worse than guys. And it just sucks if you don't deal with this stuff, right? There's just so many opportunities to not feel good about yourself. And it's all an illusion. Again, if you think yourself a natural world, the things that we think about in terms of perfection, you would never think of those, right? Hundreds of thousands of years, none of that stuff came up, right? And all of a sudden we're conditioned to notice these things because it sells products, right? So we can choose not to buy into that. All right, cool. So I'm done with that. I hope you enjoyed this. And if, like I said, Radical Acceptance, I love that book. And speaking of mindfulness, it's all this stuff, you know, but it's through the lens of meditation. And like I said, when you meditate, you really let go a lot of this stuff. You let go of the comparison. You let go of these senses, these ideal things that we carry around, and you separate from them a bit. And the more space you get from them, the more you live in that place of just accepting who you are and being grateful for who you are, right? So that's the flip side of it, really, is just being grateful for everything that you do have. And I think that's a nice place to be. Sorry. Cool. If anyone's got any questions, wants to write anything in, feel free. I don't know if you guys were writing anything. Some water. Thirsty night. Well, ma'am.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for that. That was really great.
Oh, good.
Definitely something working on. Like most other people. Sure. And I really like mantras. Mm-hmm. Using them. And I have a lot, I think, in my arsenal of kind of mental mindfulness, you know, rah, rah, rah kind of mantras. But I don't think I have a lot of kind of positive body type mantras or things that like, okay, you know, I'm not having a good feeling about this part of my body or that. Right. Do you have any resources to point me towards for that?
Let me think. You know, I don't really have a lot of them, which is kind of weird. But let me, I mean, if you don't mind sharing, is there any specific thing I could give you some right now? If you wanted to share that, if you don't, that's cool too. But is there any specific areas you'd like to feel better about? I can certainly help you with that.
I mean, I think it's just the general kind of.
Got you. You don't even have to go anymore. I already know.
Crazy yep. about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So
here's the thing. I will say this, and this is, it's a mantra, but it's built on it's a paradigm. And this is why I should put the, I did a lesson on how to love your body, which is almost a little more practical than this. This is the kind of the deeper side of it, but the loving your body part is, again, it's a functional part. I mean, it comes to comparison, right? Because if you never saw another woman, you'd probably love your body, like on a whole nother level, don't you think? Like yeah. If you never saw, you know what I mean, like a movie.
Or if I'd only seen the old oil paintings.
Right, right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be
mm-hmm.
like, what? What's going yeah. on?
Yeah, you'd probably feel, you know what? You'd feel the same way. You'd be like, oh my God, my legs got to get bigger. I need my legs to be bigger, you know? It's funny how, that's always funny too, like standards of beauty change over time, you know? And that always makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. It's so profound, right? Isn't it crazy? Because imagine, like, if you were thin through most of history, you would not be considered attractive. Like, I just find that it's so crazy. Mm-hmm. And yet we can live this life almost tortured by these beautiful bodies that we have, you know what I mean? That work and that that are so functional and so beautiful. So even the idea of beauty, it's very societal, and mm-hmm. It's up to us, I think, to not buy into that bullshit. I genuinely feel it's bullshit. And I will say this. So this is what I was going to say, is I think if you think about your life and the people that you love the most and the people that you care most about their love, I think what you would find is that your physical appearance is going to do less to make you attractive than how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So it's like, yeah. You know, do you believe that?
Yeah. And I think right now I'm still stuck a little bit on where I was 6 months ago, body wise, and how I liked that better.
Sure.
And so that's the comparison. And I'm trying to let it go. I just feel like I still am struggling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? So this was really perfect timing and very appropriate. And maybe I need to journal about it. Maybe there's some forgiveness or something that just kind of needs to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know that hanging on to that is not doing any good.
That's so true, because you're always putting that in the paradigm of the mistakes you made.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you're focused on, like I was saying, right? We're focusing on, I hate the word failure, but that's how you're thinking about it, right? Yeah. You're thinking about, okay, I failed. I had it and then I let it go. So I failed. And you're obsessed yeah. with that. You're focused on that thing.
I'm embarrassed and I'm mad. And I mm-hmm. just, I have a lot of feelings about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's those feelings are the primary thing that are driving you towards eating or choosing the wrong foods.
I know.
Right, right?
Yes, so just reach through here and just shake me.
Yeah.
No.
I will say this. Let me say this. One of the things we're going to do, I didn't get into all this here, but it's like there's intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. And so yeah. extrinsic motivation is this idea. That's why I was saying, if you get to your goal weight, this is what I meant. If you get to your goal weight, it's not like people are going to start celebrating you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't get any extrinsic validation.
Right.
Some people may say, oh, you look good, blah, 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 but it's going to be very, very little. And so the extrinsic motivation is what we're typically trying to motivate ourselves with. You know, so, okay, I want my thighs to be thinner and I want to look this way. And it's not truly motivating. It hasn't worked for 6 months and it wasn't working before that. You got into a mode where you're like, okay, I'm going to do it, and you did it. But then it wasn't motivating enough to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And extrinsic motivation rarely is. So what we want to do is we want to shift it into intrinsic motivation. And I think where you'll find a stronger, intrinsic motivation is always stronger. And the way you kind of reframe this whole process is if you, not if your thighs were a certain size, but if you lived a certain way. Mm-hmm. And if you lived a certain way, again, we were talking about this last week, everything starts to change. If you live a certain way, you're living congruently. You let go a lot of that negative emotions you feel, your thighs will probably look more the way you want. If they don't, there's more acceptance of that. That's kind of like, okay, that's who I am. You know what I mean? But again, we need to get to a deeper motivations than just how we look. Because again, your relationship with your husband, it's your thighs, because think about this, your thighs slimming down a half inch, an inch or something, it's like, that's not going to change your relationship. You feeling good about yourself, you eating the right things and going to sleep at night knowing you live the way you want to, and waking up with energy, having more patience, just feeling better about yourself because of what you're doing, that is going to change your relationship. You know what I mean? And so it makes you feel better, it allows you to work better, just everything improves better. And so that's why you need to reframe this more. And that's why the acceptance, though, that's why I bring it up. I would definitely recommend that book, Radical Acceptance. And I forget if she has mantras in there. I read it a little while ago. But it's just, you know what it is? It's an important message. And it's a message we don't hear very much. You know what I mean? Like, and we're so bombarded with the opposite message. The opposite message we hear, and these would be the numbers, like we hear the opposite message a million times a day, and we hear the acceptance message, you know, maybe once a day, if that. You know what I mean? So it's such an imbalance. We're completely fluent in not being acceptance, and, you know, being accepting is like Latin. Mm-hmm. It's literally, it's that much. So I would strongly recommend reading that book, because what it does is it creates kind of a paradigm to live in. And on top of that, you know, she, if you're a woman, I think her perspective, I think would resonate more with you. You know what I mean? Because I think there's real, I think women have it. It's unfair. I mean, it just makes me crazy. It's just so unfair. They're starting to do this to guys. You know what I mean? Like they're starting to do it with guys now. And it's like, even with makeup, I say it. And again, if you want to wear makeup, cool. But I would say to my daughter, I'm like, you know, the idea that I would makeup on myself is so foreign. Why? Just because I'm a guy. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, this idea that, well, if you don't put it on, and again, if you liked wearing it, that's cool. But it's a totally different paradigm to live in as a guy and a female. And I think it's unfair. And it's a lot of stuff. And this is the deeper work I'm talking about. The more you accept yourself genuinely for who you are and truly love yourself, regardless of what size your thighs are, what size the weight is, when you truly accept yourself and love yourself, it's a real nice place to be. And I think it automatically makes it easier, you know, again, to reach those physical goals that you may have as well. But I think you reach them because they're a more intrinsic sort of goal. It's not just based on how you're going to look. It's based on, it's a much deeper, broader goal, you know, than just, you know, what size pants you're going to wear or how you look in a mirror or something, you know? And I think that's the message here, that I think there is a deeper, we all want to be attractive. And I think the main form of being attractive is, I mean, because we all know this, right? We all seen people that are physical perfection that we don't consider to be attractive. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe we don't agree with that personality. We don't resonate with that. And we also see other people that aren't the perfect body that we think are absolutely beautiful. You know what I mean? And who do we want to be more like? You know, usually most people want to be like that, right? And so if we make that part of the goal right from the get-go, it feels better. And here's the other thing too. It's more congruent because you know you can be that. Sometimes, listen, to be that physical perfection, you know, a big part of it's genetics. You know, I always joke around, there's not enough weights in the world for me to look like Brad Pitt. I mean, like it just, if that was my goal and that's what I would have to look like for me to consider myself attractive, I'm going to have a life of misery because I could never do that. And so again, that becomes that comparison. It's always a play. And so when we can find role models of people that we consider to be absolutely gorgeous, who aren't considered society's perfect things, to me, that is a very profound message as well. And it's a welcome one, you know what I mean? So we need more of that because that's what we want. When we articulate it, we know we want that, but we never get that articulated. We never get that in our society. We're always getting the opposite message of this superficial beauty. So.
Yeah. So maybe I can just try to frame it in the present and kind of tick over to gratitude.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for my strong and healthy body, and just try something really simple like that. And, you know, take me to this moment. And
Well, here's the other one too. And I think you're right. I think gratitude is right at the core of it. It's like, I got a friend, his name's Sean Stevenson, and he's a hypnotist, but, you know, he's this big. He had a disease. You know what I mean? He's this big. He has to, everywhere in a wheelchair. He's got really brittle bones. He breaks his bones when he does anything. and he's got to, he constantly needs help doing everything. And so it's like, you know, you meet this guy, and then if you go and look in a mirror after, you know, you meet this guy, and then that night you go look in the mirror and complain about your thighs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's legit. That's 100% congruent thought. You would never do that. You know what I mean? Right. We've been so conditioned though to be like, oh, my thighs. And I get it. I totally get it. I'm not making fun of you, because we all do that in some way, you know, but again, we gotta recalibrate ourselves. Yeah. We have to, because we're an uncalibrated world. So I think gratitude, absolutely. And one of the easy ones to do is to literally go through what you love about your body. As an exercise, I would absolutely journal why I love my thighs. And I think that will bring stuff up, and it'll bring it to the surface. And it's a fun one to do. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm proud of you for saying that, because sometimes it's hard to just say things we're insecure about. But anything you're insecure about physically, I would journal about why you love that part of your body. And again, you can start off functionally. You know what I mean? So you don't have to like, oh, yeah, I love their perfect thighs. You don't have to start if you don't believe it. But you absolutely love your thighs, that they're strong and you can walk and you can use them. Right. Yeah. So again, that's a congruent feeling. Again, I'm not going to say you're just going to start with, oh, I love how my thighs look. If you've been telling yourself right. You don't love how they look for your whole life, you're not going to believe that. So you got to start with a point of truth and then kind of build on that. And what that does is it balances it out a little bit. You see what I mean? So it's like, sometimes we try to say, okay, well, I shouldn't hate my body. But again, don't think about a banana. Right? Yeah. If we're always trying to stop ourselves from doing something, we don't know what to do. And so what that to do is to feel grateful. And it's not hard to do, you know? It's easy to feel grateful for your legs, functionally. You know what I mean? You start there. And then, you know, once you actually feel a genuine love for that part of your body, it's easier to build on that love. You know what I mean? Than it is to be like, okay, well, I'm not going to be upset about my legs anymore. That doesn't feel, because that's not the solution. So I would journal that. That's what I would suggest is journal on it. You may come up with your own mantra from doing that.
Right. You know what Thank I mean? You so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Cool. Anyone else got anything? What's Pat say? I love hearing again about asking yourself what thought you're having to feel this way right now. Yep. A lot of times I forget my feelings are a direct result of my thoughts. Yeah, absolutely. And anyone that wants to go deeper into that specific concept, excuse me, that's cognitive behavioral therapy. So I would strongly recommend that, Pat. And there's a great book. It's, I can't remember his first name now, but it's Dr. Beck. He's the guy that created cognitive behavioral therapy. And it's so good. I love it. So a lot of times we talk about our state, physiology, psychology. But a lot of people have the belief that it's any feeling you have, it was created just by a thought right before it. And I think there's some validity. I think there's also some feeling stuff that leads to thoughts, but whatever. We attack this stuff from all angles. And so I would strongly suggest, if you're interested in that, Pat, go check out cognitive behavioral therapy, watch a couple of videos on it. It's really interesting. And if you get good at identifying the thoughts you have that lead to the feelings, once you recognize the thought, then you can begin to question it. And a lot of times just questioning them alone leads to growth and change. So it's very, very powerful. And of course, you know, as I always say, meditation helps with that as well, because it gives you space between the thoughts and the feelings, you know, and it makes you more aware of the thoughts. And so the more you meditate, the more aware you become of the feelings, and the more you ultimately kind of influence, you know, what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Yep. Connie says, good point, Pat. Easy to bury or suppress our emotions. Yeah, it really is. And you know what else it is easy to do is get used to the emotions. We habituate to everything, you know? And that's why I always say, that's what the phrase, you know, it's like the wallpaper. It's like, I always use the other one, right? The nose on your face. You see your nose all day long. Your eyes see your nose. Your brain deletes it because there's no value in seeing your nose all day long. And so we habituate to everything so completely that our brain literally sometimes just literally deletes it, and we can't see it anymore. And so again, that's what meditation allows you to kind of see the wallpaper in your mind, the things that you've gotten used to, the things that you've deleted. It helps your brain become aware of it. It also helps you become aware of some of the emotions that you've just gotten used to. This is a big one. Aaron Beck. Thank you, Jolene. And actually, his daughter is a psychologist too, and she wrote a book. she kind of teaches it as well. And she wrote a weight loss book. It's really good. I was going to go into something, but if anyone's got any questions, feel free to ask them. What was I going to say? Oh, this is what I would say real quick. In terms of the emotions and habituating to them, remember, our brains crave certainty more than almost anything else. Okay, they crave certainty because certainty was led to higher survival rates. And so sometimes what happens is if we grow up with, well, I'll just go with that example. If we have parents that made us feel bad about our bodies for whatever reason, always commenting on our weight, we don't like it. We know we don't like it, but we get used to it. And we get used to feeling bad about our body. And even though we don't want to feel bad about our body, it's a certainty. We know how to feel bad about our bodies. And so this is a common thing going on. This is why, again, meditation helps a lot, because it's this neutral place where we can realize, oh my God, I don't want to feel bad about my body, but I like feeling bad about my body because I know how to do it. I know how to do it well. And so again, it's kind of like that idea that people prefer a known hell to an unknown heaven. And so much of change, I swear this is a very, very deep, deep level of it, but so much of change work is learning to be a different way. It's almost becoming fluent in a new language. And if you ever try to learn a new language or learn an instrument, anything new, it's frustrating, you know? I'll tell you, I'll give you an example, a physical example. So I tore a rotator cuff muscle in my right arm, right? And so I shoot basketball and throw balls in my right hand. I can't do it anymore. If I lift it up here this way, it's kind of sore. And so I go and play, you know, ball with my son, and I just can't do it. Like, it hurts a lot. And so what I had to start doing is I start playing my left hand. I start practicing throwing my left hand. It's irritating. It's frustrating because I can't do it as well. So again, sometimes I'll find myself going back to my right arm, right? So this is a great physical metaphor. I'll go back and use my right arm, even though it's hurting, and I know it's going to hurt more tomorrow, because I know how to do it, and I can do it better than I can with the left hand, which I know it feels a lot better. I can do it comfortably, right? So again, we do this a lot emotionally, where it's like we know how to feel bad. We know how to do it. We know how to do it well. And so we stick with that sometimes. And so as we create this change, even gratitude, right? So gratitude for our body. Right now, logically, it makes a lot of sense. But tomorrow, you'll find yourself going back into feeling bad about your body because it's easier to do. It's you're good at it. And then feeling grateful for it is frustrating because you're not so good at it yet, right? So it kind of works like that, even though it doesn't make any conscious, logical sense. So yeah. So Jolene wrote, yeah, thanks for sharing, Lenore. It's hard to talk about this stuff, but for me, the guilt and frustration, embarrassment are hard to get past. Yeah, it is, you know. Again, I think the solution to all that stuff is acceptance is, you know, that's why gratitude is almost easier. Acceptance is a hard one for a lot of people because they think if they accept themselves, that they won't change or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's this idea that it's the dissatisfaction of you that's going to lead to the motivation to want to change. And I can promise you that's not how it goes. Because what happens is you love yourself, you start really truly accepting yourself and loving yourself, and then you want more good things for yourself. When you're dissatisfied with yourself and you're used to feeling frustrated and angry, again, you know how to do that. It's a certainty and you're good at it. And so even though you want to feel good, you know how to feel frustrated and irritated with yourself and guilty and all the rest of it. Does that make sense? It goes back to that quote. That's why I put that in there, that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change. Right? Again, that almost sounds like a paradox. Well, what's that mean? Again, it means once you accept yourself truly for who you are, you start feeling all this love for yourself and you want more good things for yourself. And so by accepting yourself, you get rid of a lot of that kind of unconscious crap. You know what I mean? That's kind of pulling you in different directions. If all that makes sense. Oh, Connie says, I saw some very old photos from late 70s and I didn't recall ever being that thin. Yeah, I can't tell you how many people. And that's one, there's a good example too, everyone, right? I bet a lot of people can relate to this. How many times your whole life you've been not happy with your weight, and then you get older and you look at pictures of yourself 20 years ago and you're like, holy cow, look at me. And then you think, you know, but if you think back, you never felt satisfied with yourself. That's a common thing for a lot of people. You know, it goes to show. That's a great example, though, of showing you that it's not based on what's going on out here. It's not how you look. It's what's going on inside here. That's the primary driver of that. Right. Jolene says that's so true. Generally, I sometimes feel if I accept where I am at, I have somehow given up on where I want to go. Yeah, Jolene, it's so true. I can't tell you. I tell you that, right? I guarantee. I know most of you already, so I know this is true. But I'm telling you, I've been doing this for 15 years, and like I said, the people obviously that gravitate to this kind of approach are all very driven people, you know, very focused, ambitious, you know, high performing people that hold themselves to a high standard. And in a lot of areas of your life, doing that, like school, right? So you want to get good grades, holding yourself to a high standard works well in that scenario. But when it comes to eating, because we have to eat so much, it becomes, your eating is so unconscious. And so it's just different. It's a different process. And so usually like we hold out, well, you know, once I get the A, then we get that good feeling and all the rest of it. It's just different with this one here. This one's almost counterintuitive. And that's why we say it's inside out weight loss. And I promise you what happens is when you do accept yourself, it's a motivate. It's hard to do it. I know it's like, you don't want to do it because you're scared. Like all of a sudden you're just going to give up or something. I know that, but it just doesn't work that way. You know, all I can tell you is I can tell you that and you can just make the leap and try it. I'll try and think of ways to cover that. That's such a common thing. But what I'm trying to tell you is the not feeling good, the not accepting, it's the best thing I can explain to you, right? It's like they were all, if you do accept the concept that we're multiple personalities and that you have internalized certain people. And sometimes, hey, you might have the most supportive parents in the world. It could literally be a character on TV show, right? There could have been some really mean, you know, mom on some TV show you watch or some movie you saw. You could literally internalize that and have that voice in your head. And now all of a sudden you got this voice that's kind of putting the screws to you, makes you feel bad. And then you got the other voice trying to fight that. And it's that battle, because that's what it feels like, doesn't it? It's like sometimes you take a couple steps forward and then you feel like you take a couple steps back. And it's that tug of war where you end up in the same place, right? That's how a lot of people experience weight loss. It's like, oh, okay, great. I'm doing great. And then all of a sudden I'm back to where I was. And it's that constant struggle. And I'm telling you, the way around that is the accepting yourself for what you are and who you are right now. I'll give you one more example. It's kind of like if you think about your most hated enemy, if you have someone, or if there's just some person in real life that you hate, or if there's a person that you just know about, they don't even know, like a person in the media or someone in politics or someone that you just hate or despise. It's like you would do everything you could to sabotage them and kind of screw them. You know what I mean? And now think of someone you truly, genuinely love. You know what I mean? Like someone you have just complete 100% love for. It's like you would do so much more for that person. You're so much more connected to them in such a deep way. And when you don't accept yourself, it's much more like the person you hate or the person you despise, right? That's a strong language, but sometimes we have really negative feelings for certain people, real or that we don't know. But when we don't accept ourselves, that's the situation we're creating within ourselves. And that's why a lot of times we can't make that progress forward. Whereas if it's someone you really love, all of a sudden it's a congruent energy. It's not this anymore. It's this, you know what I mean? It's kind of, you're holding hands, walking along the path, and it's congruent. And ironically, it takes less energy because your change is not about trying to fight over the bad things. It's about kind of letting them go by becoming congruent and saying, okay, this is what I want. This is how I want to live. I don't want to eat that stuff anymore. I don't want to do those things anymore. I'm letting that go. I'm not that person anymore. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's this inner work first. What's tomorrow say? On my fridge at the moment, what you resist will persist, and what you accept, you gain the power to transform. That is perfect. That is perfect. I would have put that quote up today too. That is so perfect. What you resist, you will persist. That, right? That's it. And that's what it feels like with the weight loss, right? It's this resisting. It feels like that. It feels like you're battling yourself. So how could you battle yourself? Think about that, right? Okay. So if you just real quick, Jolene says, yeah, Radical Acceptance is a free on audiobook on Amazon. So I strongly suggest that you guys go get that. And I would imagine she probably reads it. By the way, you can, she has like free meditations that are so good. I think you'll love them because it's all around this topic. And she's just super good. You know, like I said, she's a meditation teacher. And so it'll be, remember, so I mean, even the meditation, I'm always mentioning it because we have to hear it. I have to remind myself all the time. We don't get that message other places. So if you listen to her, that'll be one more source of reinforcement to do it. And not just a source of reinforcement, but a reframing, right? She'll reframe it in ways that'll make you want to do it. I promise you. And so thank you, Jolene. I'm glad you saw that, because that book's super good. And so if she reads it, she's got an awesome voice anyways. Even if she doesn't read it, I'm sure they'll get someone good and the content's super duper. But yeah, like I said, I was saying the resistance, right? If you think about resistance, how could there be resistance within you, right? I mean, this thing that you want so badly on one hand, how could it not happen, you know? And I promise you, this accepting thing, accepting yourself for who you are right now. If you start loving yourself for who you are right now, here's one other way to kind of reframe it and look at it. If you had a friend, if you have friends that are struggling with their weight, you would tell them to accept themselves for who they are right now, right? Because you love them beyond what they look like superficially. Everyone you love, again, you worry about their health for sure, right? I mean, that's why we want people to, you know, be in a healthy weight range and live a healthy lifestyle. We want them to be healthy and happy. But your love for them, right? How much you care for them is not influenced by how they look at all. It has absolutely no influence on you, you know? And so you don't do that same thing for yourself. None of us really do, you know, we have this hard thing in ourselves. But when you think about it, what you would never talk to your friend or the person you love if they wanted to lose weight. You would never do that. You would never talk to them the way you talk to yourself, because it wouldn't work. It would be horrible. You would never do that. But because it's obvious though, right? You would never do that because you know it wouldn't work. And so it wouldn't work with you either. And yet we're addicted to it because, like Jolene said, right? We just think that that's where the motivation's coming from. And I'm letting you know it's a low level motivation. And loving yourself is a much, much higher, much, much. Again, what would you do more for? You know, the person you despised or the person that you absolutely loved? And it's the exact same thing for yourself, right? So cool. All right. Anyone else got anything else? Yeah. If you're done, go get, thank you, Jolene. I know. Yeah. Module 3, that will be up by tomorrow. It's, I'm putting the finishing touches on it. I apologize for that. That notification went out a hair early, but, you will have access to it tomorrow. That's when. So cool. All right, everyone. Have a great night. Have a great week. Your planners just came in today, so you will get those by Saturday. And yeah, great. All right, everyone, have a super duper week, and we'll see you next Tuesday night. Good night, everyone. Bye.